25 to 8. The debate over fracking has been inflamed by protests and arrests near Balcombe in Sussex, where Quadrilla has a test drilling site. The Green MP Caroline Lucas was the centre of attention yesterday when the police arrested her in the course of demonstrations. Well, and they were cheering as she was led away. Another MP, Tom Harris, Labour MP for Glasgow South, described Caroline Lucas's action as pure self-promotion. He said she was always going to get arrested. That was the only point of her being there. Caroline Lucas joins us now. Did you go there to be arrested?
No, of course I didn't. And I've been campaigning against fracking and doing everything I can to combat climate change all of my political life. And so I don't really think that Tom Harris is being very accurate there. But what it is about, of course, is sending a very clear message to the government to say that we don't want and we don't need fracking. And it was really moving, actually, to be there with so many people from around the country who have gathered together to send that message, and together with the villagers from Balcombe, who as well are saying that if we're serious about tackling climate change, then we need to listen to the scientists that tell us that essentially we need to leave 2/3 of known fossil fuel reserves in the ground, otherwise we don't have much chance of avoiding 2 degrees warming.
But isn't there a lot of disinformation going on about fracking? I mean, there are people, and we heard some of them in the programme earlier, saying there will be contamination of the aquifer because of the drilling, there will be seismic episodes. And the evidence from the United States and elsewhere is that where there have been minor problems, they've probably been as a consequence of a weak regulatory system, not as a consequence of the technology itself. And some of the scaremongering about what happens in terms of seismic operations is way out of proportion to any evidence that exists anywhere, unless you can produce some now.
No, I mean, I think that as with all new technologies, there's a lot of fears and perhaps some exaggeration. I think most people who were
at Balcombe, I
certainly don't accept every single thing that people say about fracking, but I think the reason that there are so many concerns is because it still doesn't feel as if we've had a very honest debate about this. And I think people are still very, very suspicious of a government, for example, who will claim that it's going to lead to lower prices. And yet, certainly the evidence we've seen from people like Ofgem, from Deutsche Bank and others, is that because the gas markets, the geology are so very different in the EU than they are from the US, there's no real reason to expect those lower prices to happen here in the UK or the EU. And I think the bottom line for people in Balcombe actually was around climate change. Yes, there are concerns about local environmental impacts, concerns about water consumption, for example, but the bottom line is the climate change argument.
But in the end, if gas can be produced by fracking, it's going to be cleaner as well as cheaper.
No, it's not. No, absolutely it's not. I would concede that we probably need a small amount of gas as a bridge technology to get us from where we are now to a future where we can depend on renewable energy and energy efficiency. We need some time to ramp those up. But the kind of gas we should be using is natural gas linked to CCS, which captures the gas as it escapes, rather than fracked gas, which is far more intensive in terms of its methane emissions. So fracked gas actually isn't cleaner than natural gas, and fracked gas is much more linked to greenhouse gas emissions.
Isn't it unfortunate that fracking has become a subject which divides people on the subject of climate change rather than something that is looked at in its own terms? I mean, what you see is people who have been sceptical about climate change lining up on the side of fracking and, you know, very familiar faces who see it as almost as a sort of proxy for that argument. And on the other side, people who've argued about the dangers of climate change somehow seeing fracking as a threat. And the truth is that in the middle is a technology which isn't being looked at properly on its own terms. It has become a proxy for an old and wider argument.
I think there's some truth. It's become a kind of a touchstone, if you like, for an already polarised debate around climate change. But I think that it is particularly legitimate, actually, to look at fracking as the next step in a government strategy, which seems to be completely ignoring our legal obligations under the Climate Change Act to reduce our emissions.
Surely the government would be derelict in its duty if it didn't allow tests and exploration on this technology, when you look at what's happened in the United States, where it has had an absolutely dramatic economic effect and the effect of giving the United States the prospect of something it's wanted for a generation, namely sufficiency in energy, any government, it would be a dereliction of duty not to explore this technology here, to see if it was safe, to see what benefits came from it. And to try to stop it by just saying, we don't like it, we won't have it, is juvenile, isn't it?
It's not juvenile at all. I take the point that, of course, the government has to look at options, but it doesn't need to drill for fracked oil and fracked gas to know that, for example, the economics in Europe just don't stack up in the same way. As I've explained, because of the gas markets in the EU, it simply isn't the case that if we had fracked gas in the UK, we would simply then channel it into our own homes in the UK. It would be part of wider European gas markets. As I say, you've got people like the IEA, the International Energy Association, Deutsche Bank, Ofgem, all saying it's very unlikely to lead to lower fuel prices here in the UK. If you add to that what we already know as well, without doing any kind of fracking, we already know that the Committee on Climate Change, for example, is telling us we have to decarbonise our power system by 2030, again, if we're to have any serious chance of avoiding dangerous climate change. And we're not going to do that if we are searching for every last drop of fossil fuel. This is the last gasp of a dinosaur fossil fuel industry at exactly the time when we should be moving towards a truly green economy by investing in renewable energy and energy efficiency.
But you can't meet that target by renewables alone, because, you know, this is where nuclear comes into the equation as well.
Well, I've already said that I accept the point that we will need some bridging use of gas until
for a
we
long
can get
time.
Well, not for a terribly long time. It depends how ambitious we are around our renewables and around energy efficiency. But my point is that the gas that we should be using for that bridge should be gas that you can link to capturing the emissions, that CCS. It should be natural gas, because that's far less intensive when it comes to its greenhouse gas emissions than all of the methane that is associated with fracking, methane being a much, much more powerful greenhouse gas than CO2.
Caroline Lucas, MP, thank you.